gets you high like a bigger pizza pie. That's amore.
I'm Kendra.
I'm Michael.
And this is Pizza Nerds, a podcast about making great pizza at home.
This is the first episode in our Neapolitan series, and today we're giving an overview of this type of pizza.
We're usually joined by our producer and friend Jason, but Jason is at home with a new baby.
Hey, Jason.
Hey, Jason. We miss you, Jason. That was not Jason, though. That was our other friend and new producer, Griffin. Hi, Griffin.
Hi, Kendra.
So glad you're here.
I'm glad I'm here. Yeah.
So good fun. Okay, so we're doing in the New York style series. We did the first episode, and it was all about the dough. Mm-hmm. We're not doing that this time because the Neapolitan pizza is really particular about a lot of its, hallmarks, all the style things. So we're going to talk about those and kind of give an overview of like what to expect about this pizza. And then next week we'll go into detail about the dough.
So just to remind you, Neapolitan pizza gets its name from Naples. And we talked about this way back at the beginning, but 1830 was when the first Naples pizzeria opened. And that is still like the mecca of worldwide pizza, right?
There is a local pizza guy that we have been wanting to make pizza with. And he's like, well, I got to go to Naples next week.
Yep.
Okay, like you do.
And he was like, let's schedule a time to talk after I get back.
After I get back from Naples.
So Okay. Hopefully that'll happen.
I know, that'd be great. That'd be great. Okay, so it's Neapolitan, not like the ice cream. It's pronounced like the ice cream. And then it's from Naples. But like in terms of style, mm-hmm. what are some of the things, let's talk about some of the things that you look for in a Neapolitan style pizza.
Right. So when you think of a Neapolitan pizza, what we're imagining is that puffy crust, it's sort of irregular compared to, say, the New York crust that we talked about last time.
Yeah.
So you get bubbles, charring, what they call leopard spotting, which is the small little round charring around the top on the crust. Those are sort of the big hallmark characteristics.
And you get a lot of that color traditionally from these pieces being cooked in a wood oven.
Yes.
That gets real hot.
Uh-huh.
And you only have to cook the pizza for like a minute or something bonkers.
Right.
Like
that. Which is why it puffs up the way it does, because that high heat, super fast, right when it goes in, makes all that air that's in the, or all the water that's in the dough become steam, and it just puffs up the dough really quickly.
Which, I'm skipping ahead a little bit, but I think it's helpful to explain why this pizza style is really, really hard to make at home.
Yes.
And it's for that very reason. Mm-hmm. Because if you want to get the puff and the dark color and that leopard spotting, it's hard to do in a 550 degree oven, which mm-hmm. is usually the highest that an oven can go. And if you use a traditional recipe that has a traditional hydration, mm-hmm. Which is how much water is in the dough, there's not enough water to kind of compensate for the lack of heat.
Mm-hmm, that's
and
right.
So it doesn't like, there's not as much water to evaporate. So you have to add more water to your dough at home, but then that changes the texture a little bit. So it's kind of a tricky dance.
It is. Yep. So other characteristics, there's like some very classic topping combinations that have been done for almost a couple hundred years now. You've probably seen these if you've eaten at any traditional pizza restaurant. The marinara is the tomatoes, olive oil, oregano, garlic.
No cheese.
Super simple.
How do you feel about the marinara?
I would never, personally, I wouldn't order it.
It feels like it's not pizza. I mean, obviously it is because it's been around for like a long time.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know. Have you ever ordered a marinara pizza, Griffin?
No, I like cheese too much.
Yeah, it seems sad.
Even like a margarita, I'm like, I need more cheese. Yeah, I need a little more cheese.
Chintzy on the cheese. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so leading to margarita.
Yep.
Sorry.
No, that's great. Perfect segue. It was
the
great.
Margarita, and that's what probably people think of as the most classic.
Yeah.
Neapolitan. That's the one that's got the little it's got the tomato sauce, and then it's got little dots of cheese almost, and then full basil leaves. And a couple other things, but that's the main thing.
Yeah.
And then I guess when I was researching this, there's a third classic one from Formaggio a Pomodoro.
Nailed it.
I don't know. so that's tomato, olive oil, Parmesan cheese, and then optional basil. But it is kind of neat. I mean, there's a very rigorous training and technique to being a Neapolitan pizza maker that, I mean, you follow sort of specific direction about the ingredients and these classic things.
It feels like this is a pizza that you're maybe not going to have, like a pad thai pizza.
Right.
Or a barbecue chicken pizza, like traditionally.
Yeah.
It's the ingredients are so, so simple because the characteristics of the dough are so unique to this pizza. One thing we didn't mention yet was the 00 flour, which is something that's used traditionally. It's okay. We talked about this, I feel like, in a past episode a little bit about what the difference is. Mm-hmm. So it has the same gluten level percentage as like bread flour.
Really close to it. Yep.
More finely milled. Is that right?
That's right.
Okay. So it makes it lighter.
It's like the finest milled of the like regular flours that are available.
And that was part of why our testing to find a good recipe to share on this podcast was really hard, because not everybody has quick access to 00, or you don't want to have to buy an extra flour or whatever. So just spoiler, you don't have to use 00 with what we made, which is very exciting.
We tested it without it.
Yeah. And it worked great.
But I'm sure it's amazing if you use it.
Yeah. Yes, so. For sure. So if you have access, go to town. Let's talk about what we want to look for in an actual dough, like before you bake it. We will go through the process in the next episode of like actual step-by-step mixing and shaping and all of that, but just kind of a quick overview. Like if somebody wants to, grab the episode from the show notes for this particular episode, grab the recipe. That's what I meant to say. Grab the recipe from the show notes for this episode. And you just want to go for it. Let's give like a couple of notes of what you want to look for in that dough. Because I think if you go in to making Neapolitan pizza expecting like super tight dough balls that you see like maybe even in the New York style or whatever, like you're not gonna, if you look for that, you're going to keep adding more flour. You're going to overwork it. You're going to do a lot of things that are going to destroy all of your effort and not give you the pizza that you want. So, so let's go. I already said one of them. One of them is like not a tight dough ball.
Right.
Like it's a really loose dough.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
That's the quicker one of the two.
The quicker one. Well, even the other one that we're going to mention, because there are two, we're sharing two recipes for the series. One that's a little more time intensive, and then one that is not. But I would say even for the one that's time intensive, it's still, it doesn't necessarily hold a strong shape, and you don't want to like you still don't want to overwork it.
Right. It's very different from the New York texture.
Yeah.
New York dough texture, which you can toss. Neither one of these are really tossable doughs.
Right. And that's something that we have also said before, but we will say again, if you are a new listener and haven't listened from the beginning, there are too many different styles of pizza to expect every kind of dough to respond the same, to look the same, all of that. And so when you are making Neapolitan dough, you don't want a really, really tight dough. It's going to be a very wet dough, especially if you're making this at home, because it has to have a lot of water in it to do what it's supposed to do. There will be air bubbles in the dough. It's supposed to have air bubbles. There is a point at which, like, would you say in the first, like in the first rise or in the first shaping, like it might be okay to pop some of those like before it goes into the second rise, but you don't really want to pop a lot of the air bubbles, because that's part of the point.
You really want to leave it. Yeah. Let that stuff happen.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then I think that was all. Those are the two big things about the dough, right?
Yeah. I think we'll get into very specific
in
the next two episodes. Yeah.
Well, let's talk about like how we went through the testing for this one.
Yeah.
You guys. Oh my gosh.
This was a tough one. Like you mentioned that it's hard to make at home. And what we found was it was really hard to find a recipe that we were
proud of,
excited about sharing with you guys.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. To the point where we were like, should we do this series? Yeah. This is kind of bumming both of us out. And
but
then
we pushed through.
We found it.
We pushed
so
through.
So and, how many do you think we tried? How many recipes did we try?
Well, the best method to find that would be to
pull
up the spreadsheet that you made.
One, two.
Because Kendra gets the Nerd Award
three.
For the week.
Thank you.
I think the Nerd Award goes to you, right?
I'm so happy.
We had
one, two,
notes.
Three,
yeah.
Four, five, six, seven, eight, nine. And I don't think all of them are even on. Like there were two that I made that I didn't put on there.
Yeah, right. So 11.
That's five. 14.
What does that say about
those 14?
We made 14 different recipes.
Pizza.
I don't know how I feel about that. That's a lot of recipes, but we nailed it.
The outcome is that we actually have a recipe that we really feel excited to share with you.
Yeah.
And another one that we're also excited to share that's an easier version. So yeah. A couple of really great recipes that we think you'll be very happy with the results at home.
Let me ask you a question. So when we were talking a couple of weeks ago and we hadn't landed on a good recipe yet, we were both we were kind of down in the Neapolitan dumps.
Yeah.
And I said, I just don't like Neapolitan pizza. Like that's where that was my conclusion that I came to. But now I'm like, oh no, I think I really do. You sort of said the same thing. You're like, maybe I just don't like it as much.
Yeah.
Do you feel like that shifted for you a little bit? That
I think
it was
so.
Just the recipe?
I think so. I think I was actually becoming pretty skeptical that it could be done in a home oven. And look, we're not trying to pretend that it's going to be the exact same as a 1,000-degree wood-fired dome oven. But in terms of, I didn't even think we could find, I was starting to believe that we wouldn't find something that was even like halfway there or something.
Like nothing was getting color, nothing was puffing. Like it was just really, it was really hard to do.
Yeah.
I'm just really glad we found it because pizza's not supposed to be sad.
Right.
And we were both kind of sad.
Yeah. So
making all these recipes.
Tell us we found two, like we mentioned. What, give us like the just teaser for them.
Yeah. Okay. So the first one, we'll start with the easy one.
Uh-huh.
The first one is a recipe that is essentially a dump and stir.
Yeah.
And then you just leave it. The difficulty with it is not in the making, but in the shaping, which we will get to because it is so very wet. There are so many bubbles and you can't expect to shape it in the same way that you would another pizza.
Right.
So, but if you go in with that knowledge, it's not quite as overwhelming. Like, what am I doing wrong? You're not doing anything wrong. It just looks really different than what you're used to with, say, New York style or something. And then the other one is so good. It does take about 3.5 hours to just mix in the beginning because it is basically you fold it every 20 minutes for an hour and a half, like five times. It's like 5 20-minute folds.
Yeah.
Again, we'll go through this like more specifically in the next episode, but then you have to like leave it out for an hour before you put it in the fridge after you do the folding. And so start to finish. Yeah. It's like a solid 3.5 hours, but it's not hard.
Right.
It's just time consuming.
Yeah.
And even then only for like 20 seconds at a time.
You need a block of time.
You just need a block of
time.
But
each step is, it might even be as short as like 20 seconds.
It's so easy.
And then waiting 20 minutes.
Yeah. And you don't have to do like... I used a mixer. I just used my stand mixer.
Mm-hmm.
Did you use a stand mixer? Mm-hmm. So it's not even like, it's not messy. I mean, it's very easy.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to pay attention and like have a loud timer on your phone or something like that.
Yeah.
And it is really, really good.
It's great.
Like I made the best pizza of my life with this dough. I'm pretty sure. Like it was, Griff, I don't know if I can communicate to you because I've already communicated to Michael probably too much. Like I was so proud this night that I made these pizzas. Like I texted people and I was like, you want to come over? Because I got pizza for you to try. Like it was so good.
And the worst part is it's Neapolitan style pizza. So if they come over, it's like cold and not quite what you want it to be at that point.
You have to get there right. And that, you know, and I feel like that's actually probably a good thing to mention too, that we haven't really talked about, but it's not a pizza that can sit around.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that you really want to eat when it comes out of the oven.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when it's at its best.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think those are the biggest differences. The two doughs, if you were to make them next to each other, the two that we are going to share in the show notes and then like go through step by step in the next episode, they look very different from each other. Like it doesn't feel like they should result in the same. I mean, they're not exactly the same end result,
right?
But it doesn't feel like they're in the same family,
right?
But they are.
Yeah.
And we will kind of, again, go into that a little bit more in the next episode. So, but we will have links to those recipes in the show notes for you.
And you will have questions about them, I'm sure, if you want to cook them right away. we will get to a lot of those in the next two episodes. We're still totally game for answering questions on Instagram.
Yeah.
But if you're just itching to do it, read through those recipes and try it. And then stay tuned because we're going to talk about them in detail.
The recipes do have a lot of information. So just read over it a few times because you might have missed. I do that all the time when I bake something and I'll do the next step. And then something that relates to that step was like a paragraph before.
Yeah.
So just kind of read through it again and you'll probably find what you're looking for. But yeah, these are two really solid recipes. And you can make real good Neapolitan pizza at home. You can find links to these recipes and anything else, all the other resources at pizzanerds.co. And then you can follow us on Instagram at pizzanerdsco.
Thanks so much for listening to Pizza Nerds. I'm Michael. She's Kendra. We're glad you're a pizza nerd too. We'll see you next time.
Bye, guys. When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore. When the world seems to shine like you've had too much wine, that's amore. When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore. When the world seems to shine like you've had too much wine, that's amore.